to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Happy Friday, everybody. It's bye week Friday, so unfortunately the Browns will not be on the field this Sunday. They will be maxing and relaxing, hopefully dedicating themselves to what they need to do to improve when they return to action next Sunday against the Tennessee Titans as they check in their bye week at 1-2. Nathan Zagura joined by Matt Wilhelm, who is live out at the PNC Bank in Fairlawn. Go check him out there on West Market Street. And, of course, Frank Stams, Cleveland Browns alum, will be out there. Chomps the Mascot will be out there. They've got food. They've got drinks. They've got all kinds of fun and merriment. Plus, Matt is out there. So head on out there. We do have a big show for you today at 1:30. Mary Kay Cabot will be with us from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Former Brown Frank Stams on site, as I said, at the PNC Bank in Fairlawn will join Matt and I at 2 p.m. And at 2:30, it's time for a little Friday forecast with the kid. I'm happy to be back with all of you here today after a couple days off. Good to be back with you. We're going to cover a lot of stuff here, our Ohio Business Machine's Hot Topics. We're going to kind of go around the league a little bit today, Matt. I think we'll take a look at every division, tell you who we think after three games are going to win the divisions. We'll give you a little Sunday preview of the games that are happening for other teams in the AFC North that are playing. We also want to know which Browns player do you think needs to step up the most coming back from the bye. That's the key to this team. Let us know that. And I also want to get your take on this. How would you like to see the running back workload distributed when the Browns return, knowing that Ben Tate is back? So you can hit us up on Twitter at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 57, or at Browns underscore daily on all of those hot topics. But before we get into those, Matt, what's up, bro? How you doing?
I'm doing well, dude. I am out here at PNC Bank in Fairlawn. We have a very similar setup to the one that we had in Mentor last
week.
Which
was glorious.
We've got fans trickling in already. We've got the Orange Army of the from PNC Bank still finishing up the touches on setting up. We've got Cleveland Brown seats. We've got some of the guys attempting their best shot at the football throw. We have cornhole. Food is being set up. There's plenty of room here, so fans, come on out. Check me out. Frank will be here later today, and do your very best to root on these Cleveland Browns as we stay safe during the bye week.
That's right. That is right. And, of course, it is a good time out at these things. There's football throw, there's cornhole, there's food, there's drinks. Plus, PNC Bank wants to help you turn a little bit of cheddar into a whole lot of cheese out there. So certainly stop on by, say what's up to Matt, and have a good time out there at the PNC Bank in Fairlawn again on West Market Street. Let us know that. And let's get into our hot topics of the day. And certainly, like I said, we want to hear from all of you. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. And, of course, you can tweet the show at Browns underscore daily, at Matt Wilhelm 57, at Nathan Zagura. And I went and put some of the questions there as well. And this is the big one for me. And let's start with, because it's coming off the bye week, you know, who is the player that needs to step up the most post-bye week, in your opinion? And, Matt, I'll start with you. Who's the guy that needs to step up the most for you, in your mind?
You know what? It's tough to pick a player. We've talked all week about certain position groups. But I think also, too, as I know, the defensive line coach was pretty happy with their play as a unit. For me personally, I do think it's Ataba Rubin, you know, because I think that nose tackle in a 3-4 defense really truly makes or breaks the way in which they stop the run. So his performance moving forward, we're going to have some very winnable games against some, you know, inadequate offenses. So domination up front starts with that nose tackle, Ataba Rubin.
Yeah, that would have been who I was going to say, but since you said him, no need to piggyback there. I'm going to go with Joe Hayden. And the reason is Joe Hayden was brought here to be the lockdown. He's got a very tough job. He has to shadow the number one corner on every other team. I think he's somebody that needs to step up because he's looked at as a leader on this team, and rightfully so. And when your star is contributing and your star is getting the job done that he's been paid very handsomely to do, I think it kind of buoys everybody on the defense, and I think it would give a lot of confidence to everybody to know, hey, Joe's going to handle his business. Everybody else just handle theirs, and we're going to be in good shape. So I'll say Joe Hayden. We both started defensively. On the offensive side of the ball, who's one guy that you would like to see more production from, Matt? All right. Sounds like we have lost Matt here. So I'm going to say who I would like to see step up on the offensive side of the ball. And that's going to be tight end Jordan Cameron. I think when you look at this offense from the Kyle Shanahan runs, the tight end has always been a massive, massive part of that offense. And Jordan Cameron so far has battled injury with those shoulders. You know, he's been under 50 yards two games there. And I think that you want to see him get back to that Pro Bowl level. As I have noted, tight ends, the average for a top tight end, the Kyle Shanahan offense, 77 catches, 939 yards, 5 touchdowns. You want to see Cameron get to that level. And, man, I'm talking about on the offensive side of the ball, the guy most important to me to see step up. I think you want Jordan Cameron at that tight end position to be a major factor once again.
Oh, you definitely do, Nathan. And I think that, I mean, we're all pleasantly surprised by the play of Brian Hoyer. I think he's been a leader. He's been consistent. He is not making any errors. Yeah, yet to throw an interception. You know, we've both had our offensive line as the unsung heroes and MVPs
sure.
of this offense thus far. I think we're all, again, very pleasantly surprised by the rapport that's been built by Brian Hoyer at that and that receiving core missing Josh Gordon. So the one other area that you can choose, and I mean, I think it's a great pick, is Jordan Cameron, you know, in his emergence as the Pro Bowl tight end and the true down the field weapon that we have within this offense. And, you know, getting him back from injury, getting him healthy during this bye week and his reemergence within this offense, you know, again, as I said, I'll allude to it, you know, until we continue to win these games, is, you know, a very, very winnable series of games. And I think it's, you know, Brian Hoyer and Jordan Cameron really taking advantage of some of these lackluster defenses coming up in these very winnable games for us.
Yeah, you want Jordan Cameron to be that security blanket. But also, you notice two of Jordan Cameron's catches have gone for more than 20 yards. Right now, he kind of is the number one vertical threat, really, in this offense in terms of consistently moving the ball down the field. So you want to see him back and more involved than he was last week. I know talking to some of the coaches, they were a little bit disappointed that Cameron was targeted not at all in the second half of that game. And that certainly will be a point of emphasis when they return for him to step up, step in, get more involved going forward. But you're right. These are some winnable games coming up. The Tennessee Titans, Steelers at home, at the Jaguars, the Raiders at home, and the Buccaneers at home. This next five-game stretch is as favorable a stretch as you're going to see in the NFL, which brings me to another person that I think is going to need to step up. And when looking on Twitter, we got at CardiacKid33, noted Jordan Cameron. We talked about him. At Greg Sopko says, Ben Tate. And I think that's an interesting one. Ben Tate looked very good in the limited action, 6 carries, 41 yards against the Steelers week one. But according to Wilbert Montgomery and everybody I talked to over the last few days here, he's going to come back in and be the guy. And if that's the case, you want to see him perform at a very high level. And I think Ben Tate in this ground game should continue to thrive. The matchups coming up are extremely favorable for running the football. And Ben Tate's a guy who I think has an opportunity to come back and make a major impact to this offense.
I do too, and I think you know what I love about that comment from Wilbert Montgomery is the fact that that this what we may feel as analysts and as fans as a problem of how are we going to distribute the carries. I love the fact that this staff and Montgomery has come out and said that he is our guy. He's going to get that carries. We expect him to, you know, to pick up exactly where he left off and be the player that we all expected him to be in bringing here from Houston in free agency. And I instead of that wishy-washy, well, we're just going to kind of see how it figures itself out. I love that which is very defined. He's going to be our guy. And we all know after the samplings that we've gotten of Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell, what we have as his backup and the emergence of those two young backs.
And what we want to know from you, because I think this is going to be one of the more interesting storylines going forward, what we want to know from you is this. How would you divvy up the workload amongst the Cleveland Browns running backs now that Ben Tate's in the mix? We've seen Terrence West have success. We've seen Isaiah Crowell have tremendous success. How would you do it? If you were the coaches, what's your split? That's something we're going to get into as well. 216-578-0850. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford here. And Matt Wilhelm coming to you live from PNC Bank in Fairlawn. I'm in the Dog Bowl in Berea right now. But I'll tell you what. This is going to be an interesting situation because let's go into the locker room. You got to play with one of the all-time greats, obviously, in LaDainian Tomlinson there in San Diego. Now, you were also there when there was a pretty darn good young running back by the name of Michael Turner in San Diego as well. How does that dynamic work out? Was it one because LaDainian was so good that there were just no questions? But when you have a situation where you've got a veteran who in many ways is hungry and Ben Tate, but you've got these rookies, what's that like? What's that dynamic like?
You've got to love it. And again, the offensive coaches love it. And over the course of time, LaDainian Tomlinson actually, you know, as you would see, some people might think, well, he's stealing my reps. He's stealing my limelight. But in most cases, as LaDainian, and again, the running back position in the NFL, you know, those years and that wear and tear, and as you say, the tread on those tires, you know, really starts to wear thin. And LaDainian appreciated, you know, a guy like Michael Turner that knew his assignment, that ran extremely hard and allowed LaDainian not have to bear all that workload, as we see guys across the NFL and Arian Foster and Adrian Peterson, come up with injuries from time to time, whereas they had a great relationship, and it was an awesome dynamic in our room. And again, it just made our offense so much more diverse, and teams were having to, you know, stack the box against Michael Turner. But, you know, you bring LaDainian Tomlinson, he's running routes, you know, out of the backfield. So it's a great kind of mix-match combo that they created for us offensively. And it's something that, again, it's an amazing problem to have with Cleveland with the emergence of those two young backs.
The difference here is I think they're all similar. I think they all do the same things. They're all same style backs. There really isn't a lot of differentiation amongst them. I'd say maybe the only differentiation is that right now Tate's probably the best pass blocker and pass catcher of the three. So when you have a situation like this, like the Browns do, you know, it's going to be tough to keep all three of them happy. Do you kind of decide like, hey, Ben Tate's the starter. That's what they've said. Do you kind of just decide, listen, Tate's going to get the majority of the reps. The number two back's going to get some work, and then the number three back's not really going to get much unless there's an injury, because it's got to be difficult to try to get enough touches to keep everybody happy. Somebody's going to be unhappy, and that's something that can be ultimately a little dangerous if that unhappy person gets a little too vocal.
No, you're right, Nathan, and I think what the one problem that the coaches may have, and it's really not really a problem, is a matter of communication. You know, the young guys, Crowell and West, have to understand that Tate is the guy. And as long as these coaches are having open communication and relationships with these younger players, they're winning football games. I don't believe that Isaiah Crowell or Terrence West thought they were going to get the significant workload that they have gotten thus far this season. But if we are competing, winning football games, and they're being mixed in, and their role is defined by the coaching staff, and then they're actually seeing that happen on Sunday, these guys are going to have big smiles on their face, because their role is much larger than they had expected coming into the season, and they're winning football games, Nathan. And I think that and the competition level in the room is, of course, always going to be there. And they can't look too far down the road. But winning football games and an opportunity is what these young backs have to be after. And they've gotten so much more than they probably asked for.
They have, and now it's going to get scaled back. When we return on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Matt and I are going to rank the three Browns backs, 1, 2, 3, and tell you how we think that workload should be divvied up when this team returns from its bye week. Also, we're going to get your phone calls, 216-578-0850, Dan in Middleburg Heights. We will get to you. We want to know who you think needs to step up the most for the Browns and how you think this running back situation should be divvied up now that Ben Tate returns to action in week number 5 against the Tennessee Titans. I think that's a hot topic, and I think that's one that is going to present a lot of challenges. You got a lot of egos and a lot of talent in one room and only one football for all three of them. I think that is going to be something that is going to be very interesting to watch as this season plays out. So we're going to tell you what we think. Thanks for being with us here on Bye Week Friday. It's Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Thanks for listening. And if you're out in the Fairlawn area, go out there and check out Matt Wilhelm, Frank Stams, Chomps, drinks, food, fun out there at the PNC Bank in Fairlawn. We'll be back with more of CBD, driven by the great folks at Liberty Ford.